Hello, my little rosebuds, and welcome to the 420 special episode. 420 is one of my favorite days. I hope it's one of your favorite days. So I'm releasing this on the eve of 420, so you will be able to enjoy it throughout the day on 420 while you burn, because you know I encourage that while listening to these episodes. Today's episode is going to be on theme. We are going to be looking into a Colorado man who says that edibles were the cause of his wife's brutal murder at his hands. We will be looking into the research by doctors, the defense, and the prosecution to see whether this is true. So, grab your weed, grab your wine, and let's dive in to this 420 true crime. Hey everybody, I know it's been a while since I released an episode. Life is still crazy. Luckily, I graduate. I submit my last homework this week, so I will be dedicating more time to releasing more episodes for you guys over the summer, because I need a break before I go to graduate school, because I'm a masochist. So let's get into the strain of the day so we can get into the actual crime that took place. The strain of the day is Granddad Kush. It tastes delicious. I freaking love it. It's nice to roll in blunts. It's good to smoke in bongs. It has that real skunky smell to it you want. But a good taste, like that fruity taste you get sometimes. I'm really partial to Kush because, one, it's mostly indica, and two, it's an OG. It's one of the classics, so all the variations of Kush I tend to enjoy. I give it an 8 out of 10 leaves. I am also smoking concentrate, caramel apple concentrate. Let me tell you, concentrate never tastes like whatever the flavor is for it, but it's very potent. I've really enjoyed this strain of concentrate, I guess you would call it, and I give it a 9.5 out of 10 leaves. It gets me really baked. I smoke it only before bed. It puts me in like a good, relaxed, happy mood before I go to bed. It also really helps with my stomach issues. So I have celiac disease and severe stomach issues. I also have like heartburn like crazy and whatever. I'm not going to go into the boring details about my stomach, but this strain really seems to help with that. So grab your bowl, bong, blunt, joint, dab rig, steamroller. I'm trying to think of everything I've smoked out of, but obviously I don't remember it. Vape. Just grab whatever you're smoking out of, roll up, pack a fresh one, and let's get into this true crime. So the murderer's name is Richard Kirk, and I want to start out by saying he was arrested in 2014, and the first time he is speaking out and saying that the marijuana edible caused him to do it is in 2020. So Richard Kirk, we'll call him Dick Kirk because he killed his wife and he's trying to blame edibles. But old Dickie boy Kirk murdered his wife. And they had three children at the time of her murder, and he shot her in the head and claims that marijuana edibles that he ate made him do it. Dickie Boy Kirk is quoted as saying, quote, "There's absolutely no other situation that I can think of where I would do that. For me, I know it's 100%. It's the marijuana and me ingesting it. That is the reason I did it." Now, I don't think anybody is going to admit they just murdered somebody out of cold blood unless they're a sociopath or they don't care or they're proud of it. Usually, murdering the mother of your three kids is looked down upon, so I don't think he would come out and be like, "Oh no, I murdered her just because I felt like it." So, his wife's name is Chris, like, spelled like Kris Jenner. Not comparing her to Kris Jenner by any means. And he shot her in the head. So, a Colorado-based marijuana researcher says that he's finding more and more evidence that edible forms of marijuana spark more psychiatric problems than smoked. So if you've ever done edibles, which I'm assuming you have listening to this podcast, and I 100% enjoy edibles, but it is a completely different high than smoking. Totally different. It's like such a body buzz. It kind of reminds me of mushrooms, but it's not psychedelic like that. But it's just totally different. So if you haven't done them, like I said, it's more of a body buzz. It gets you messed the F up. I love edibles, but they can fuck you right up. So this researcher says that due to this, there are more psychiatric problems with edibles. I'm sure you've heard of people freaking out on edibles and needing to go to the hospital and whatever. And that does happen. And maybe that's because they don't realize how different the high will be from smoking. Or maybe they're just crazy due to the edibles. Previous research found that some edible marijuana users experience psychosis, a mental break with reality. So psychosis, obviously not a great state to be in. I feel like I constantly live in psychosis. My husband would probably say the same, but no, true psychosis is scary. I had a friend that went through that. She actually ended up trying to kill herself because she thought her parents were trying to kill her. That was from too much acid, not edibles, but psychosis can be scary, and your brain can be a scary thing when it turns against you. I've thought this so much, like when I think about sad cases about mentally ill people, like it is sad when your brain turns against you because it can be your worst enemy. To quote Dr. Andrew Monte, a marijuana researcher, he says, quote, "Clearly edibles seem to have more severe toxicity than inhaled agents. And it seemed that much of this is actually psychiatric in nature," unquote. So Kurt goes to jail for it. He's incarcerated. He has a 30-year prison sentence, and he comes out and starts talking about the edible he took. Quote, "I don't know. I didn't know it was my wife. I thought it was somebody else, I guess. That's the only way I could have done it. I never once thought about even hurting my wife or pushing her or anything. let alone taking her life, taking her away from her three boys, end quote. This is obviously very sad. So these three boys lost their mom. Good old Dickie Boy Kirk. He is saying that he would never do that. I think it's really weird. He specifies push. I would never push her. After saying I wouldn't hurt her, I feel like, why is he specifying push her? But that's fine. So, Dickie Kirk and Chris had really big marital problems. And the root of some of those problems, as many married couples who have been through this can tell you, were financial struggles. This has been suggested to be a motive for the murder. And it's also been suggested the stress would affect your body when eating edibles as well, and your brain. So, Dickie Boy Kirk hires a paid defense consultant, and that's Dr. Monte. And he says, quote, not everybody that takes an edible agent is going to have hallucinations. Many people do it and take it safely, and so we need to understand and respect that. But the risk seems to be higher for edible agents than it does for smoke agents, unquote. I personally have freaked out and gotten paranoid on edibles. When I first started smoking, though, I took a break for like 5 years from smoking weed and would smoke occasionally. And when I smoked occasionally, I would get so high and so freaking paranoid. But not the way edibles made me paranoid, if that makes sense. Like, I was paranoid, like, no, we can't stop at Subway. They're going to know we're high, kind of thing. After my friend suggested it, after me smoking for the first time in a year, they went anyway. And then after I sat in the car for about 5 minutes, I also conquered my fear of them knowing I was high because I wanted a cookie more than I didn't want them to know I was high. Oh, to be young again. I'm not old on a side note, unless you consider 30 old, but I don't. So, but I'm also not 22 anymore. So Dr. Monte is on the state's in Colorado, retail marijuana public health advisory committee. And he conducts studies related to cannabis. He's worked on about 10 since 2009. And he also comes on as a consultant for Dickie Boy Kirk. His most recent study, which is, it's not scholarly yet. Okay, so I'm sure you all know, but to become a scholarly respected study, it has to be peer reviewed and approved and all that stuff. So keep in mind, this is still under peer review and has been for several months, but his study found a number of complications like hallucinations for people who used edibles and a higher rate of emergency room visits for patients who used edibles than those who smoked marijuana weed. Sorry, when I do my research, they always refer to it as marijuana. So I put it in my notes as that for some reason. I literally never say marijuana in my life. I always weed. Like, never marijuana. I've never been like, excuse me, sir, do you have some marijuana I can smoke? I don't know why that required an accent. It felt like more formal, and that's how I feel about saying marijuana instead of weed. never mind. Dr. Monte said that he took and tracked 2,600 marijuana attributable patients' visits to the emergency room, and he looked at them over the last 5 years. And to be honest, out of all the things people go to the emergency room in general for, marijuana, weed, pot, whatever you want to call it, is much lower than every single other emergency room visit. Less than 1% is where we're at with marijuana visits there. But most of that is made up of people who use edibles as opposed to smoking weed. Okay, so let's get a little into how Dickie Boy Kirk. I'm sorry, I'm weird. I need help, I know it. Dickie Boy Kirk got into taking edibles. So he was addicted to pain pills in 2014. As many people do, they don't want to be addicted to pain pills. So they look painkillers. So they look for holistic alternatives or non-addictive alternatives. And so he researched and found marijuana. Because weed, it helps a lot of things. Like I said, my stomach issues, it helps sleep, it helps pain. It's just awesome. It's a wonderful little plant that was cursed for too many years for all the good it could have done in all that time. Especially back in the day, like before medicine got so advanced as it is now. I regress though. Let me get back on to point. So he would buy 100 milligram pot gummy edibles after Colorado legalized it for recreational use. So at this point, though, there were no regulations. They didn't restrict the THC in edibles because, as Colorado being one of the first states with legal weed, they were the ones that pretty much had to figure out what needed to be done, what didn't need to be done. And California too, obviously. But yeah, so when you're the first, you have to figure out from trial and error that you may need to limit the amount of THC in an edible. Dickie Kirk said that he had an orange gummy and he nibbled part of it at home. He said it was over an hour he started feeling the, quote, weird effects from it. Dickie Kirk said of his experience, quote, "It was like I was in a different place. It was like I didn't know. I remember being out on our deck. I remember jumping through my youngest son's window, trying to go to the screen where there's a door right outside his room. I remember scraping my shins and being sore." Okay, so I have never had blackouts with edibles like this, where like it's kind of like being drunk where you get like flashes of memories, but you can't remember the in-between. So this sparked my, does he have other mental illnesses that marijuana can exacerbate? Like it can exacerbate schizophrenia. This doesn't sound like schizophrenia to me, but I find it's weird he only ate a tiny part of a gummy and can't remember besides little flashes. But I'm also not him, so I'm not saying it's impossible either. I'm sure it's completely possible. Dickie Kirk then said he remembers going to the gun safe after pressuring his son to recite the numbers in their street address. So, like, was he going to shoot the son if he didn't know the street address? I'm not sure, like, if he remembers going to the safe and, like, actually physically having to try multiple times to take the gun out. Like, he could have been in a state of psychosis. I have no idea, but I feel like within that time on edibles, you might be able to think clearly about what you're doing. He went on to say, quote, "I just lost myself. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what the threat was. I didn't even know if there was a threat. I don't know. I miss the loving contact of my family, the embraces of my wife, the scent of clean pillows. I miss that I have absolutely no communication with my three sons," end quote. I'm not going to say whether he deserves communication with his three sons or not, but I'm going to say whatever they need to do to heal, he needs to deal with it because he killed their mother. Under the influence or not, he needs to deal with the fact that his sons might not ever want to see him again. Not everybody forgives. And just because you're sorry doesn't mean people have to forgive you. So he has stood by that the marijuana edibles made him do it. But I'm saying, quote, it's not a quote. I was doing air quotes because I don't think made is the right word, but whatever, I digress. And many, many others have questioned his intentions and whether he took the gummy as an out. They were, as I said earlier, they were experiencing extreme financial difficulty. And if you have ever had trouble with your finances in a relationship with your significant other, it's stressful. Money is stressful. Whoever said money doesn't buy happiness, no, it doesn't. But it makes life a whole fuck ton easier when you don't have to stress about money. So money difficulties, as you know, as true crime lovers, is also a big reason for matricide, where people murder their spouse. In a police report, the wife's family members told detectives that Dickie Kirk always seemed like he was on the verge of being out of control, and he had serious rage issues. Okay, so pause. Are we saying that the edibles could have exacerbated these rage issues? This is what I meant when maybe he had a mental illness and the edibles brought out the worst in him. But others said Dickie Kirk had, quote, a nasty streak, and that his wife, Kris Jenner, not Kris Jenner, it's just spelled that way, KJ, good old KJ, told colleagues that she wasn't in love with him anymore and had planned to tell him so. Kris Jenner's sister, I want to reiterate, it's not Kris Jenner, that's just her nickname for this episode. I'm going to stop calling her that because I feel like I'm going to get messages that are like, Kris Jenner, what? Okay, so Kris's sister told authorities that she always had a feeling that Dickbag would hurt her sister and was completely and totally capable of it. Sober, messed up, no matter his mind state, he would hurt her. Dickie Kirk went on to defend himself and said, look, many couples go through financial struggles. Many couples fight. Many couples feel like they might not be in love with each other anymore. These are typical struggles. It doesn't mean you're going to murder anybody. Since this has happened, the state has made vast changes to marijuana regulations, including restricting how much THC goes into a single edible and each serving size. So, a little bit of facts about Colorado and their marijuana industry. There are about 6.5 million marijuana users in Colorado annually, and the state sold more than 9.2 million edibles for recreational use in 2017 alone. Now, there's no specific like database of people who are violent in reaction to marijuana. But cases like this, like Dickie Kirk, are extremely rare, but high profile, so they have caused the changes. But many users, the vast majority, like vast majority, like I would say close to 99%, use edibles and have been using edibles responsibly for years. They needed to change things, though, because they don't want the 1%. So now THC is limited. And Rachel Gillette, who is the board of directors for Normal, the organization that supports legalized marijuana products, and she admits maybe everything wasn't right when they first started and they had a, quote, learning curve. But they've made very sure to take any issues surrounding edibles and take safety into their minds and make sure what the consumers are getting are safe. However, Rachel Gillette, who I really like, says it's completely unfair to link THC consumption to adverse behavior more than any other drug, including alcohol. There are many people who kill people under the influence of alcohol, and they are held responsible. So Dickie Kirk saying, oh, I ate an edible, so I killed my wife. It's kind of like, give me a break, dude. Like, you killed your wife because you wanted to kill your wife, not because you ate the edible. Maybe eating the edible made it easier for you, but I don't know. So the University of Colorado also got involved with this, and they say the best thing they did was limit the maximum dosage that could go into any edible product. The state limits 100 milligrams of THC to any single package and must contain no more than 10 milligrams of THC a serving. And each needs to be marked that it has THC with the little weed leaf, you know. And has every serving size has to be marked and separated. So the University of Colorado went on to say, the body absorbs edibles differently than when it's smoked or inhaled, and how much you get in can vary on what somebody ate that day, if they're on other drugs, if they exercise, if they have fluid in their system. There's a lot of factors that go into what makes the strength of edibles and how much you feel the effects of them. I am going to say this, as somebody who's done edibles a lot, I know my limits, but if you do not, you can always eat more later. You cannot eat less. So I would wait. If it's your first time dabbling in edibles, I would eat a very small amount. Wait an hour or two, see how you feel. If you need more, you can always take more. But when you take too many and you don't know your limits, that's when you could get a freak out. I'm not going to say you're going to kill somebody, because no, I mean, like, you'll just be paranoid and nervous, and you want to be that good, mellow, body buzz, chill, laugh at everything high. At least that's what I want from my edibles. I don't like freaking out. I heard a noise upstairs one night when I made pot brownies, and I ate too many of them, because, like, clearly I don't measure serving sizes out. It's just whatever gets in there. And I heard, like, the heat crack in there. Oh, my goodness. I almost made my husband come upstairs with me to bed because I was so nervous. So that's, like, the stupid things that happen if you eat too many. I personally do not believe the edible made Dickie Kirk hurt his wife. It sounds like he was violent. Many people in their lives thought he was violent. They were going through marital issues. I think that was an easy scapegoat to say, oh, I took this and I had no idea what I was doing, and I killed my wife and I can't believe it. But, like, even his apologies where he's like, oh, I'm so regretful my sons won't talk to me. Like, he makes it about him rather than, I'm so sorry that my sons don't get to grow up with a mom, and I hope one day they understand I took edibles, which I should not have, and did something I deeply regret. Like, it needs to stop being about him, because everything I've read, he's like, oh, well, I don't deserve this and this and this. You took a life, bro. You deserve what you got. You took your wife's life. Maybe it was an edible's fault. Maybe it wasn't, but you took her life at the end of the day. So, on that note, we're going to wrap up this 420 special. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I know I did. Please follow us on Twitter. You can find us at Rose420. It's R0SE420. You can also find us on Instagram at Weed, Wine, and True. And please follow us. If you like us, please recommend us to your friends. Word of mouth is the best. And give us a rating. Give us a nice rating, because those help and it helps more people see us. And I really am going to get back into the swing of once a week this summer after I finish school. And my husband's done with chemo, so just stick with me, guys. I'm sorry. I know the episode releases have been sporadic, but I love you guys. Thanks for all the support, my little rosebuds. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Have a freaking rad-ass day.